morning. If you'd turn with us to the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. The book of Daniel, chapter number 3. We'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, found in Daniel, chapter number 3. I'd like to start reading in verse number 14 today. Daniel 3 and 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I've set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, all these instruments and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And by the way, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we'll not serve you gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I won't preach on this subject this morning. My answer is still no. You may be seated. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you for the love of the people and the family of God. Thank you one day that you sent your Son to the glorious cross. There he died, gave his life for sinners. Upon the third day, God, you resurrected him in power. No longer does death or the grave have power over him or over us that are alive in Christ. I pray now you let preaching be easy a few minutes and help us. Give us direction, give us wisdom. I pray for the hearts of your people here today. Would you touch hearts? I pray for our nation this morning. I pray, God, you'd help us in this hour. Our families that need a touch, I ask you to touch them and help them. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. This morning, is there a reply in verse 16? Nebuchadnezzar, the king, the one that set up this great image, he said, "I've got a question to ask you. Will you bow to this God, the golden image?" They simply required, "We're not even careful to answer thee in this matter." Preaching this morning, is the answer is still no. I wonder, is your answer still no? There's three things in this text that I'd like to go through this morning. First of all, I want you to notice in Daniel 3 verse 1, notice the fury that they face. The fury that they face. Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of the land, the king of Babylon. The children of Israel, they had been held captive. Here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They no doubt had come out of the Jewish revival before their land was captured. And some things were put in these boys from a mom and daddy way on back. So now they're held captive. This king, he gets big-headed and big britches. And he builds this big god and he says, "I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to worship this God that I implement. And anybody that don't worship this God, if you do it my way, my order, you're going to the fiery furnace." Now I want you to notice in this text, this fury that they faced. I want you to notice in verse 2 and 3, there was a great social involvement. Reminds me in the day and hour that you and I live. He says that he made this statue in Babylon. In verse 2, he sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. There was social involvement. You'll always notice that the devil, he loves to get in social involvement. And just because what's going around in our country today, we don't have to be involved in that social environment. Now, I believe in a man that has friends must show himself friendly. I'm not talking about having a bad attitude. I'm just talking about not going with the crowd and the social pressure. Number two, not only was this social involvement, but look in verse 5. There was an emotional enticement. The Bible said that when you hear the sound of these instruments and all kinds of music, then you fall down and you worship this image. Emotional enticement. You know, a lot of Baptists are very emotional people. I realize I'm emotional myself. In other words, I have feelings that come forward. There's some that is more emotional than others, but we live in a day and hour when everybody's wanting emotion. We live in a time when so many churches, they've turned to the gimmicks of the world to try to raise their membership, and they love to stir that emotion. They love to put on dramas and shows. But honey, if there's ever been a day and an hour when a man of God needs to thunder out of an old-fashioned pulpit and say, Jesus saves, and there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, it is in this day and this hour. My goodness, there was emotional enticement. You know, there's nothing wrong with the right kind of music, but the wrong kind of music is very damaging. I was sitting by a red light the other day out in front of the barbecue place in Carrollton at Billy Bob's, and my dash got to rattling. I thought I was going to have to take my truck to the shop. I looked, and there was a young kid sitting there in his car, and every time it beat, his head was going, I mean, he was just vibrating all over. You know, this emotional stir, this hype, this pressure that's going on in our environment, it's all kinds of music is going on. And mom and daddies, let me tell you, we ought to watch and beware of what our children are listening to. But on a higher plane, we ought to be careful of what we're listening to. You know, I come up in the Eagles and the Boston Day. Anybody remember that? You young people don't remember that. But and Journey, man, they could sing. And I mean, I can be in a restaurant and hear that and my foot go to beating from the 70s, from them bell bottoms and stacks. Somebody say amen. I mean, it's down in there. So we got to be careful what's in us this morning. Some of you play Merle Haggard every day and you don't never hear nothing about Jesus. You ought to be careful. Don't get quiet. Shake your little Baptist heads up and down this morning. Let's have some preaching. Let's turn the corn crib over this morning. Hey, let me tell you, it does matter what kind of music you listen to. I had one of the greatest German Shepherd dogs that ever lived. He guarded Megan and Mason when his little kids, they could lay their bicycles down at Grandpa's house. He'd lay there. You asked him. They'd come out the door. He'd still be laying there. And he'd chauffeur them back to our house. He loved them kids. He guarded us. And I was out back one day and I heard a boy turn into the Garrett Circle. He's going ba-bump, ba-bump, ba-bump. That big dog throwed them ears up and he run in the highway. You say, what happened? It didn't work out good for him. He run slam over him. You say, what's going on? That kind of stuff will kill you. Somebody say amen. But he knowed his danger. Some of you ought to realize this danger. Well, I didn't think that'd go too good, but I preached it anyway. But I want to say this morning, the fury that they face, this social involvement, this emotional enticement. But then look at verse 4. Be wary of this. There was government enforcement. The government got in on the thing and said, you're not going to worship your God. You're going to worship our God. United States of America, we better realize there's one God that we must serve this morning, and He's the God of this Bible. The government wants control of our life. I don't belittle our pandemic one moment. Neither do I belittle when governors close churches and don't give that body the option whether to open or close. God's people can use good sense and good measure. Honey, let me tell you, when governors go to closing churches, we're in trouble. It's not about their safety. It's about denying our God this morning. I want to have the safest place in America we can worship. But I think it ought to be up to that body whether their church is opened or not. We've got a brain. We can realize in a crisis we can do what we need to do. But we live in a day and hour when the government wants to control everything. It's about power. Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted so much power in his life. And the children of God should stand up against this shenanigans. They want to implement heresy in our schools. They want to teach things that is contrary to our Bible. But when your children mention something about Jesus, they can't mention that because they're in school grounds and school property. I want to say something, though. I'm 65 years old. Nearly 70% of my property tax goes to Carroll County school system. I ought to have a say in what my children and grandchildren are being taught. And if it don't line up with the Word of God, we ought to stand up and say something about it. One good thing about 65, your taxes go down. Somebody say amen. Why in the world is a man 65-year-old sending kids to school? Anyway, that rabbit got up and I jumped it. Number three. Social involvement, emotional enticement, government enforcement. But look at verse 6. There's spiritual defilement. He simply said this, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Spiritual defilement. This world has always been against people living for Jesus. This world order is against you living for Jesus. Here this king, Nebuchadnezzar, he set up this great image. It's a type of the Antichrist. I encourage you to read Revelation chapter number 13 and look how it lines out with this 666 of Daniel chapter number 3. My goodness, the Antichrist is going to appear in this old world one day. But let me tell you the process. We that are saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, the Lord's going to sound the trumpet. Revelation 4, chapter number 1, we're getting out of this world. Then that Antichrist is going to appear and he's going to have the answer for all mankind. One world religion, one government power. But I ain't got to worry about that. I'll be in heaven. And I want to tell you this morning, with these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I want to say something, this fury they faced. Mom and Daddy, just want to say something before I go today. Be sure to invest in your children. I want to say, first of all, saturate your children with the Word of God. We live in a day and hour when we try to keep our children occupied with gadgets and games. But we need to be pointing them to the Word of God. Give them a Bible story to read. Read it to them. Keep the Bible around. A Bible ought not be something, Mom and Daddy's, that we look up on Sunday to take to church. The Bible ought to be in our lives every day. Saturate your children with the Word of God. Number two, prepare your children for pressure. Everybody else was doing it. Listen to me, young people. Just because everybody else is doing it don't mean you got to do it. Just because our culture has changed And we need to be educating our children about peer pressure. They don't have to fold under pressure. There's somebody worth living for. And Jesus is a friend that stick up closer than a brother. You don't have to do what the world's doing, young people. You don't have to dress like the world's dressing. I seen a young lady in TJ Maxx yesterday. It was an embarrassment to her mom and daddy. Like Renee says, well, honey, she just ain't had no mama. Shake your head up and down this morning. She's sitting there. I mean, my goodness, I mean, you don't even know. It looks like she landed off Mars. What are people thinking? You don't have to cave under pressure. Be who God called you to be. Keep yourself pure and clean. Save yourself, young lady, for your husband. You young men, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Put the Bible in your life. Ask God to send you the right mate in your life. And you'll go places that you thought you never could go with Christ. Teach them about pressure. They're going to make fun of you, young people, because you love Jesus. They're going to make fun of you if you dress right. They're going to make fun of you if you don't go to their parties and smoke their weed and pop their pills and drink their booze. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to ridicule you. But let me tell you, that's just not started. It's been doing it a long, long time. Jesus was ridiculed. He is called everything but the Master, the Savior that He really was from the world that hated Him. This morning, this fury that they faced. You know something? We live in a culture now where it seems that nothing is wrong and nothing is right. But it's still right or wrong. And mom and daddies, listen to the preacher this morning. You not only have to teach your children what's right, you got to teach them what's wrong. I'm going to say that again. You don't only have to teach your children what's right, teach them what's wrong. Tear their backside up. Boy, it's quiet. Y'all act like a bunch of Presbyterians this morning. You're not to abuse your children. Discipline your children. Some of you, all you know about discipline, when you've had enough, you backhand them, knock them over three chairs. And they say, well, I've been doing that for 3 weeks. What's your problem now? Like old Barney, you say, nip it in the bud. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. The fury they faced. Teach your children. Saturate them with the Word of God. Prepare them for pressure. And teach your children to stand. You know, it sure is a blessing when you got people to stand with you. But let me ask you something. What if they're not standing with you? Teach your children to stand on the principles of the Word of God. To stay in love with Jesus. Young people, if mom and daddy's not looking, Jesus is still looking. Does it offend Him what He's doing, what you're doing? That should matter to us. What the Lord thinks about what we're doing. The fury they face. Could you imagine the sneers? I preached Sunday before last on Joshua, Jericho. Could you imagine, as the Lord had told that group of children of Israel to march around Jericho 6 times, 1 time a day, and on the 7th time, you're going to march around it a whole lot more than one. Could you imagine them people looking in the jeers of Jericho, that what was talking about them people? We have got to get beyond what people say, long as we're living by the Bible. And it's took me a long time. But let me tell you this morning, we must teach our children to stand. Young people, stand for what's right. Stand for faith. Stand for your church. Stand for your family, your mom and daddies, your brother and sister. Stand for your friends. There was about 5 men in the foyer today. I walked by there and they said, "We got you back, preacher." I said, "Thank God." It's good to know folks are standing with you. But if nobody else is standing, teach your child to stand. To stand for what's right. Don't be rude and don't have a bad attitude. Simply stand on what the Bible teaches us to stand on. Number four. This is big. Not only saturate your children with the Word, prepare your children for pressure, teach your children to stand, but teach your children not to fear the furnace. Teach them not to fear the furnace. You say, well, preacher, that's bizarre. No. No, the furnace is going to come if you stand right. Number two, the fury they faced. Could you imagine how alone they felt? Do you ever feel alone standing for Jesus? Sort of like a fish out of water. You know, if I had to go into a nightclub, I'm saved. If I had to go into a bowling alley and people sat down at my table with drinks, that would spook me. That would bother me. If I was playing golf and a guy got him a drink at the clubhouse at the turn, that would bother me. I wouldn't judge him. It would just bother me. Why? Because the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become anew. Sinful living bothers me. And it ought to bother you if the God of this Bible lives in you. Number two, not only the fury that they faced, I can remember back in the days, we would go to a lot of big meetings. So many people would get their free drinks. There I would be over simply by a table with my Pepsi can. Now I'll never forget, Brother Jeff, one day, they gave out a big long line of tickets. Give to all employees, and you know, we was all supposed to win a fortune. So we go to this big tent, they all handing out their drinks, and man, I mean, band a playing. I got my little old Pepsi can and stood there at the opening of the tent, just standing there thinking, Lord, I'm glad I don't fit in here no more. And a guy walked up to me, and this is what he said. He said, Ken, I've been watching you a long time. He said, you're different. You're different. I wonder the life that you live in, does it ever bring any conviction on anybody else? I was on an airplane one time. And I was flying someplace to preach, and I was on the end seat. Another boy by me, and the stewardess come by and served him his Bud Dumber. Somebody say amen. He is sitting there, and he looked across. I noticed he's looking out the window, and all of a sudden he looked across the aisle, and he said, hey, what you do? I said, I pastor Liberty Baptist Church. He took that thing, he got to run it up on that seat by him. I said, the fury they face. You're going to be ridiculed for standing what's right. And mom and daddies, let me tell you something else. You're going to be ridiculed for raising your children right. Well, look how my children's going to be affected if I don't let them do that. It's not going to damage them. You may keep them out of more trouble from keeping them going to a place, keeping them at home with you so you know where they're at. Well, I feel a lot of stuff coming back this morning. You mom and daddies, you ought to be careful where your children go and spend the night. These hoodlums, these freaks. Be careful where your children go and who you entrust them with. The fury they face. Bible thumpers. Some churchgoers. They crazy. I want to say the answer is still no. The answer is still no. The fury they faced, too. The faith they followed. Look what these men did. Some say they're children. If you'll read in commentators, these are men now. They've been raised. the faith they followed. Verse 16, look at their settled faith. And this is very important this morning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter." Their settled faith. They had their mind made up. Before the opportunity presents itself, you need to have your mind made up. When temptations come, it's no time to make a decision. Do you hear me this morning? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's portion nor his meat. Make your mind up. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to be good to people. I'm going to raise my family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to be dedicated to the house of God. Make your mind up. They had a settled faith. In other words, look what it says so simple. We're not careful to answer them this matter. In other words, we ain't even got to think about this answer. I wonder, at your house, do you have to really think about doing right or wrong? Do you really even have to think about it? There's some things I don't even got to think about. I'm not going to go lay down on the yellow line out there in front of Liberty Baptist Church and say, ain't nobody going to run over me. That's crazy. You're going to get run over, you play in the street. Settled faith. They had their mind made up. But look, verse 17, not only settled faith, they had scriptural faith. Verse number 17, if it be so, now get this, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, He's able to deliver us. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there's nothing too hard for God. Not only did they have settled faith, they had scriptural faith. They had done read something, and I'm closing, but I want you to listen to this. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. Listen what it says. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages and the world without end. Amen. Preacher, what are you saying? Well, they had a scriptural faith. They believed God could do anything. Our God is able. Do you realize our God is able? Nothing too hard for Him. Now, watch this next point, and I'm closing. Not only settled faith, the scriptural faith, but in verse 18, look at this steadfast faith. The Bible said, but if not. Now, time out a minute. I want to remind you about a New Testament Bible story. James, the New Testament pastor, and Peter in those days, Herod beheaded James. They locked Peter up. And the church continued without praying for Peter. And Peter was released. Now I want to ask you this question. Why did God allow James to be taken early and allow Peter to live? That's a God thing. God is sovereign and God does things that pleases Him. Even things that we don't understand, but this is the end of the story. We've got to trust Him through it all. He said, I want you to know our God is able, but if not, I wonder where Liberty Baptist Church would go with that mindset. But if not, we're still going to serve Him. What if you don't get a new house and a new car? Will you still serve Him? What if your child don't get well with cancer? Will you still serve Him? What if your husband walks out on you or your wife walks out on you? Will you still serve Him? If you lose your job, will you still serve Him? If somebody hurts your feelings, will you still serve Him? But if not, you know what that tells me? God was so big inside of them men. Let God get that big inside of you this morning. But if not, the Haney family's here. I want them to come if they can. Brother Larry, I want you to play. I want y'all, if you'll sing a song, whatever you want to do for imitation this morning. But I want you to come. I want y'all to sing if you'd do that.